Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And on today's Basic Gospel program, we continue with our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, based on Bob's book of the same title. If you don't yet have a copy, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel book link on the right-hand side of the homepage. We hope you'll do that. Now, since this is a study edition, we'll not be taking live phone calls today. However, the voicemail system, the voicemail line, is always open, so you can get your questions to us at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But right now, it's our Friday study edition, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on page 21 of our study guide, chapter 3, The Essence of Faith. And last week we talked about Abraham, and Abraham is considered to be the father of faith. Yep. For both Jew and Gentile. So the essence of what we believe as Christians is traced all the way back to Abraham. And so since him, all the way forward, there's something that we share in common. There's something that we all believe about God and about his son, Jesus Christ. So we talked about last week the story in Genesis 15 of how Abram was complaining to God that he did not have a rightful heir. Yeah. And God said, I'm going to give you a son of promise. You will have an heir. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, the same is true for you and me. When we believe God, when we take God at his word, then it's credited to us as righteousness as well. Well, what is the word of God to you and me? Well, it's a word concerning his son. It is a testimony about Jesus Christ. And really, that was the testimony that God was giving to Abraham, that Abraham's son, his seed, is really Jesus Christ. Paul talks about that in the book of Galatians. He tells this story of Abraham in that letter to the Galatians, and he said that God preached the gospel beforehand, knowing that the Gentiles were going to be included, that through Abraham's seed, Jesus, the world would be blessed. Yeah. So Abraham believed God concerning God's promise about his son. So it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, we looked at Romans chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 last week to show how this relates to you and me. It says in verse 22, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So there's Paul's word concerning the Son, concerning Jesus Christ. And when we believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, salvation is ours.
Right.
Righteousness is credited to you and me. So Abraham believed a promise concerning the Son. And we're going to take a look at another story in Genesis chapter 22 that gives us a clue that Abraham actually believed in resurrection. Mm-hmm. Now, we're never going to see the word resurrection in Genesis 22. We don't see it in Genesis 15, nor do we see it in Genesis 12. But the fingerprints of resurrection are all over this story. So we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the essence of our faith. And if Abraham's the father of faith, then that needs to be the essence of his faith as well. Yeah. That's what we share in common. So let's dive into Genesis chapter 22 and take a look at what this story is all about and how it points forward to the resurrection of Jesus. So God promised Abraham a son, and he delivered upon that promise when Abraham was 100 years of age. Sarah was 90 years of age. They were barren. God delivered a son to them. and his name was Isaac. He was the son of promise. Mm-hmm. And then the same promise was given to Isaac, and Jacob became the son of promise. And that promise was carried through the line of Judah, one of Jacob's 12 sons, all the way down through David, and then eventually in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is ultimately the son of promise, and all who have faith in Jesus are considered children of the promise. Right. So that's how this all holds together. That's the glue that keeps this tightly bound, that keeps us tightly bound to one another. It is the story of Jesus Christ. So God delivers on the promise. Isaac and Sarah have, Abraham and Sarah have Isaac. And then when we get to chapter 22 of Genesis, we read this. And it is a very, very strange story when you just read it on the surface. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. So here's this surprise, this kick in the gut.
Yeah.
So Abraham has Isaac. God has promised something special is going to happen through Isaac. So you can just imagine being in Abraham's shoes, being Isaac's father. I mean, every day you're expecting God to do something great through this son of yours. You don't know exactly what it is, but you know that it's going to be a blessing to the entire world. Yeah. That's been the promise that God has made. So your life as a dad is filled with so much joy, so much expectation about this promised son who was now in your care, whom you were shepherding as a father. And then, not very long after his birth, we don't really know how old Isaac was. There are all kinds of speculations, and we're really not going to get into that. But God says to Abraham, I want you to take this son, this only son of promise, and I want you to sacrifice him. Now put your feet in his shoes and just see how you would feel if God told you that.
Yeah.
Man, talk about a kick in the gut. That is a kick in the gut. But look at what Abraham did. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. It didn't look like he argued with God. It didn't look like he asked a lot of questions. He just listened to what God said. And the next day, he started out on his journey. Mm-hmm. That's a man of faith,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That is a man of faith. We'll talk more about what that faith really was in just a second.
And week by week, we're working through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide on these Friday teaching editions of Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're here for this one. We hope you're benefiting from what you're hearing, and we hope you'll take the initiative to share what you're hearing and learning with others close to you. If you miss any of the weekly sessions along the way, you can go back and catch up by visiting the study archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, all the sessions are there for you and anyone you'd like to share them with. So if you'd like to have a copy of the study guide, you can order directly from the archive page. And again, you'll find it all at basicgospel.net/teaching. We encourage you to go there. We encourage you to share these messages. It's just information and it's just spiritual input that needs to get out. We want to get the word out by every means available as often as we possibly can. But today, back to our study. And here again is the author of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in Genesis chapter 22, and we're looking at the test, Abraham's test. So God had given a promise to Abraham, a promise of a son, Isaac came into their world. It was a miraculous birth. And now God is telling him to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
So Abraham has this three-day journey, and I think that's significant that it's 3 days. Jesus Christ was in the tomb for 3 days, mm-hmm. and on that third day, he was raised back to life. Well, on this third day of Abraham's journey, some things are going to unfold in his mind that enables him to move forward with what God told him to do, and that was to sacrifice his son. Well, how are we going to find out information? Well, the New Testament writers clue us in on what was going on in Abraham's mind. So we're going to go back to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to see how Paul tells the story. So Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. This is Abraham, in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. So God had already expanded kind of the limits of Abraham's belief in the promise of Isaac. In essence, God called something into existence that did not exist and that could not exist through human means.
Right.
God made the birth of Isaac happen. It was under his power, his inspiration, his force that made this birth come about. And so Abraham believed that. His faith was expanded greatly because of the work of God, because of what he witnessed God doing in bringing Isaac into the world. And now his faith is being tested and expanded even more. And here Paul says that part of what Abraham believed was that God is the one who gives life to the dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Abraham actually believed that? Well, if we're not so sure based on what Paul wrote in Romans 4, what about the author of the book of Hebrews? Mm-hmm. Well, here's what he had to say. Here's how he tells Abraham's story. By faith, Abraham, and this is Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered, or he reasoned, that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So what does the writer of Hebrews tell us about Abraham? What did Abraham believe concerning God? That he had the ability to raise Isaac from the dead. Now, where did this belief come from? Well, maybe in this three-day journey, maybe as he was thinking through this, God's spirit or God somehow got the message that I have power over death. And Abraham reasoned, if God could call something into existence that didn't exist, then he probably has the ability and the power to raise something back to life that dies.
Yeah.
And so he believed that God was able to even raise him from the dead. So that's what enabled Abraham to go through with this act until God stopped him of sacrificing his son. So it's kind of interesting.
Got to wonder what Isaac was thinking about.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just put yourself in any of their shoes.
Yeah, really.
I mean, put yourself in Abraham's shoes. I mean, Sarah, as a mom, she's like, this is my only son.
Yeah.
I've been barren all of these years. This is my only son. And now you're going to sacrifice him? Mm. How did Abraham tell her that news?
Mm.
How did he let her know? Did he even mention it before he got up and left? We don't know. The story doesn't give us those details. But How would he tell her after he sacrificed her? What was going on through Isaac's mind? Can you imagine being bound on that altar and your dad with a knife in his hand, and he has it raised up and he's about to thrust it down into your chest? Can you imagine what's going on in your mind at that particular moment? Can you imagine what Abraham is sensing and feeling? I want you to grab hold of this. I mean, this just isn't a benign story. This has emotion. This has every part of the human experience built into it, baked into this story. There's fear, there's all kinds of stuff, but overlaying it all is this sense of hope that God is involved. And if God could bring something into existence, he can also raise things back to life. Yeah. That's the hope, and that's what Abraham eventually gives into. And he's about to thrust the knife down into Isaac's chest, and God says, stop, stop, just stop right there. Why? Because God had provided a lamb. And let's go and look at that aspect of it. Genesis chapter 22, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And the angel said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Why was Abraham able to not withhold his son, not to hang on? Because he knew God had the power to raise him back to life. He had reasoned that to be the case, and that was the essence of his belief system. That's the essence of our belief system. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring. Listen to this. This is the promise. This is the preaching of the gospel to Abraham. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my son.
What a promise.
What a promise. So that promise is infused with this hope of resurrection. Abraham reasoned that God could raise Isaac from the dead. Now, how does this point us forward to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, just as God provided the ram back in this story, he provided a lamb.
Yes.
Abraham did not withhold his son. God did not withhold his son. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John, In his gospel, talks about John the Baptist, and John the Baptist seeing Jesus, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is a story about Jesus. He is the Son of Promise. He is the sacrifice that God offered up for all of mankind so that we could be saved.
Yeah.
So what did Abraham believe? What makes him the father of faith? The fact that he reasoned that God had power over death. That's the problem, isn't it, Bob? That is the problem of the world. Man has been trying to figure out a solution to death ever since death came into the world. through Adam and Eve. I mean, explorers came over to America looking for a fountain of youth, something, some elixir, some natural liquid, some food of nature that could extend life eternally. Researchers today in medicine and science and all of these things, they're searching desperately for cures to all these various diseases. But underlying most of that research is the hope that they can one day find a solution to death itself, that through the power of science, through the power of our intellect and our abilities to innovate and invent and do the things that humans can do, that we'll be able to come up with a power of force that's greater than death. Well, folks, it's not going to happen. Only one person, one entity that has power over death. That is God himself. And he has already shown forth that power in raising his son back to life. So we can continue to expand our human knowledge. We can expand the things that we can do, and we can marvel at some of the inventions and some of the things that we can do as humans, some of the things that we have brought into being through science and all of the things that we have at our resources. But no matter how far we extend the boundaries of our knowledge and our capabilities, overcoming death will always be something well beyond our capabilities, well beyond our intellectual resources. We will never be able to figure that out. We will never be able to put forces together in such a way that will overcome death forever.
Yeah.
But God does have that power, and God has already exhibited in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what is the essence of our faith? We believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Paul put it this way in his letter to the Romans, chapter 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What did Abraham believe? He believed that God had the ability to bring Isaac back from the dead. He believed in the power of resurrection. What do you and I believe as children of God? We believe not only that God has the power, but that he indeed raised Jesus from the dead. That's what we believe in our heart. That is the essence of our faith. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, when we believe that good news story, guess what happens to us? We too are raised, as Paul wrote in Romans 6, we too are raised to walk in the newness of life. Folks, if you are in Christ, the power of the resurrection has saved you and has crossed you over from death to life. Yeah. So that you can live in the power of the resurrection each and every day.
Great news from Basic Gospel. It's the kind of great news that you hear every day. You know, Bob, there's one thing that our listeners will never hear on this broadcast, and that is a message of condemnation and judgment. And we are so thankful to be a part of the truth that God is disseminating through this ministry and this message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for being with us for the study edition, everybody. To get your copy of the study guide, click Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the book link on the homepage of our website at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership in this gospel message to keep the good news coming. Donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this week, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back on Monday. We hope you'll join us then after a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take care. Bye-bye.